Father God, I just thank you that we can break the curses and we can step into the blessings. And Lord, we don't have to go on being blindsided all of our lives, never figuring it out, never escaping those things that come down on our heads with great frequency sometimes. So Lord, I praise you that today you're going to help us break out the word of God here and how we can escape the curses and step into the blessings in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Barbara, this is a teaching that I believe, you know, I wish I'd had growing up, because I watched so many curses in my family and I didn't know that they were curses. I didn't know what was going on there. And I watched, even in my case, repeated sickness. And I had a lot of sickness until I was about 7 years old. In fact, 1 year I started out, I believe I was second grade, and it went like this: mumps, measles, chicken pox, scarlet fever, rheumatic fever, I mean, on and on. And my folks were absolutely beside themselves. They fumigated we left one time, they fumigated the house thinking, well, we're going to kill all the disease here. Mm-hmm. But it was really a spiritual thing.
It was.
And a lot of it came out of fear.
And some of you who are listening, there are things that are happening in your life over and over again. And you are so frustrated, you're discouraged, you're saying, I do things I don't want to do, and I continue to do them. What is this? Or we're always broke. It seems like we're always broke. Or like Darren was talking about, you're always sick. What is this, Lord? What is causing this? Well, you might be under a curse, and that's what we're going to be talking about in these first two tapes here, series. We're going to be talking about curses. We're going to be talking about how we can win, and the devil loses every time. That's what I'm so excited about, Darren, that the devil is going to lose. Hallelujah.
You know, I've seen families that had accidents of all kinds. And with their children, I mean, dumb accidents. You'd say, well, that doesn't happen to anybody else in our church or anybody else on the block. But repeatedly, this family had all kinds of grievous accidents, and they were always at the doctor's office or the emergency room. Then I've known people that always had car repair problems. And they go to buy another car, and sure enough, it was almost like they were drawn like a magnet to buy a lemon. And then the curse would just go on and on. And some people live that way all of their lives. It doesn't seem to be anything that you can put your finger on exactly. And that's an example of a curse. And we don't have to live that way as born-again Christians.
No, and curses keep us from being what God has intended us to be. And that's why we are teaching this today. And that's why we want you to listen to it two or three times. Now, what we want to do is we want to define the word curse here. And I was looking up in the Word the other day, Darren, and the very first time that the word curse occurs is in the Garden of Eden. And we all know that story, how Eve sinned and she took of the forbidden fruit. And I believe that's one thing that women need to beware of. And that is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the very pride of life. Because that's something that we desire. We're going to desire in our own flesh and in our own bodies. And the devil, he betrayed her, and he tempted her, and she gave in to it. And when God came into the garden, he was wondering why they were hiding from him. And the Lord said, "What have you done?" And the woman says, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Now, this is something we have to look at, deception. And especially women, I believe, Darren, are deceived so many times into believing things that aren't so, or believing things that aren't at all, aren't reality.
Today, I would say sometimes people go to a mall and they say, "But it was such a good price. And besides that, they gave you another little compact over here. If you bought this thing for half price,
yes,
then they gave you another gift." And what it was a bait and switch deal, and you ended up getting stuck with something that you probably really didn't need, and didn't really, really want, but there was like a spirit there that drew you to make another purchase.
Yes, that's so true, and it's stuck in a corner. How many of you can relate to that? This thing is stuck in the corner, you'll never use it, but you just had to have it. Well, that's the eyes. That's the eyes that we have to be careful of, and also it's the flesh. I think I could really use that. Think again. And that's why I like to, a lot of times, Darren, I like to sleep overnight before I make a decision. I have to go home and sleep on it,
well,
as
good.
People
I'm glad
say.
You said you went home, yet you weren't sleeping in the store. But you know, they also get you through the sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we walk through a department store together, and all of a sudden, I mean, there's just an aroma, a smell, a scent, and you stop, and then they've got you. Because then you start, what smells so good? And you ask, oh, it's this little thing over here, you know.
Or you go by a bakery and you smell wonderful fresh baked bread. Our flesh just screams out, I've got to have it. Well, we're going to talk, and we're going to get into the serious side of the curses here today, and I hope it'll be a real blessing for you. The word curse, we first see that curse when the Lord says to Eve, or to the serpent, I'm sorry, the Lord says to the serpent first, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat. And we know here that this is when the serpent, that terrible enemy of ours, Satan, is put down into a snake form. He doesn't have legs. He has to crawl on his belly. And this is what he becomes because he deceived the woman. This word, curse, is number 779 in your Strong's Concordance. And it's arar. And I would like to read it. It is found 63 times in the Old Testament. And it means to bind, to hem in with obstacles, to render powerless to resist. And that's what the devil wants you to be. Powerless to resist. That you can't resist anything. And I found it interesting, Darren, that the word bind in the New Testament, whatsoever you bind on earth, that means to forbid. So bind has a negative connotation. And here, the word curse means to bind, to render powerless to resist. Cursed are you more than all the cattle, and cursed is the ground because of you. Means you are banned from all other animals and condemned to be of the soil that is cursed. So this is one of the meanings of the word curse.
I remember what my grandma used to say. In fact, I had an uncle just older and just younger, and I was kind of raised around them. They were more like cousins than uncles. But my grandmother used to say, what's gotten into you boys? What made you do that? Well, I look at a curse almost like a demonic personality that comes around, whispers things in your ears. You don't see it. You might feel it, you might sense it, but it's like there's an unseen person there causing you to get into deviant behavior of some kind.
That's right.
And she would say to us boys, you know, when we were, oh, I can remember before we were 10 years old and early teenagers, what in the world's gotten into you boys? Well, it's really a curse that comes around like one of these demonic spirits or evil spirits that comes around and gets you to do dumb things. Now, it may be the same thing when you're driving. You know, why do you continually get into an accident? What made you be that kind of a driver to just, you know, and some people say, well, and they make a joke out of it, and it's really not funny when you stop and think about it. It's really not funny. And sometimes we call those people crash, and we've tormented them with words like that, and we've kidded around. But why does that person continually have fender benders?
That's right.
You know, there's got to be a reason for that. Say, oh, every 6 months I have a wreck, you know. Well, then they start cursing themselves. And they start using words against themselves and against their driving habits and so on. And I'm sure their insurance rates reflect that. But we've got to find out what that is and break that thing so we don't continually do that as a Christian. We got to get out of the loop there.
That's right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because the second meaning of curse is number 7043. And that's kalal. And that's vilification of the word, from the word vile, from the word despicable, depraved. Vilification. From that word comes villain, and so that has a very evil connotation also. I remember when you were talking about this man that he said his car is always cratered. I mean, every car he got, they cratered. And that word cratered kind of almost has a comical meaning to it, but it is a very serious thing. This man, whatever he touched, because of a curse on his life, his cars were ruined. They were always lemons.
Well, I remember he would watch the papers, and he would find that cream puff. If anybody could find a cream puff, and he lived in the city of Dallas. I mean, he looked the papers over, and he was really did his due diligence. He would find this perfect car. He would talk about it, and then it wasn't long before something major, like the engine went out or the transmission went out. I mean, major, major pieces of the car. And then he would say with some kind of sanctimonious self-pity, well, every car I get craters. He would curse every car that he ever had. And sure enough, it wasn't long before that cream puff wasn't a cream puff anymore. It was a big problem in his life.
Yes.
But he was under a curse there. And he grew up in the same church I did, and we had no idea. No, in fact, I